Greetings, heroes, and thank you for answering the Summoner's Call. Presented by The Gamers Inn, this is a podcast for all fans of Fire Emblem Heroes and the Fire Emblem franchise, or Fire Emblem-like games, which we'll get to.
Yep, I'm going to say we're going to step a little out of Fire Emblem franchise, but that's why it's called the Outrealm Gate.
I'm your host, Ryan Murphy, and joining me, as always, you heard him already, my co-host, Eddie. How's it going, Eddie?
Not too bad. Been a bit crazy, but overall, it's been fine.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, March, we're midway through March. We've got some fun. Actually, back-to-back episode. We had an episode last week. We're back again this week. We're going to have some thoughts on the new heroes that just launched late last week. But before then, let's talk about the banners. Legendary and Mythic Remix 1 and 2 goes until the 24th. Attuned Sita and Ascended Merrick goes until the 4th. That's that new heroes banner I talked about. And A Place to Rest goes until April 6th. That is the special heroes Easter / Spring banner that's still running. Now, I did no summoning of note. Oh, actually, that's a lie. I was doing the tickets and I got Yulia? Is that how it's pronounced? I'm looking at it.
I believe so.
Yeah. So I got Yulia.
That's what it looks like.
4-star. So.
Okay.
But Eddie, how'd you do?
I did hop back into the bunny banner and cleared that out, getting the ones I hadn't gotten yet. Then I hopped over to the Sita Merrick banner and got both Yulia and Arlen, the colorless units, on, I think it might have been just the first round, but at least the first round or two. First ring or two. Went along, and since Yulia was the 4-star, that got that 4-star and didn't worry about it from there. Went along and ended up sparking Sita, since she is, not guaranteed to show, or, limited return. And trying to clear out my pity rate, I ended up getting a third non-focus 5-star. And, side note, two of the 5-stars, or non-focus 5-stars, were Rosado for some reason. I mean, I was focusing green because Merrick was the one eluding me, but it just was weird to get two Rosados. But I kept going to, clear out that guaranteed focus unit and managed to get Merrick. So I got the whole banner. Was fine waiting on Merrick because, ascended units go into the regular pool, but didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great that you managed to get the heroes you were looking for. Yep. What do we've got? What do we have coming up?
Yes, we mentioned last week we're getting a new emblem hero at the end of the month on the 29th. However, since we are planning to only do minis when the legendary mythic emblem banner ends before we would cover it otherwise, we will actually not cover that next week, or in 2 weeks. We're going to wait 3 weeks and cover it when we go over the April special heroes that launch on the 5th. Of April, so it'll be on April 8th is our next episode. We'll be back to cover the special heroes and the new emblem we get.
And we were talking pre-show that the special heroes are likely to be the children's banner.
I mean, they could decide they're done with the children banners and go back to the picnic banner or something, but yeah, April was questionable, or they were trying random things and they seem to so far have settled on the young versions of our heroes and stuff. Mm-hmm. We got young Ike, young the trio of the White Wings.
Mm-hmm.
1 year.
I think it's an interesting banner to kind of explore sort of different versions of characters we know, so we'll see what that ends up being. I had guessed the bridal banner, but as you said, that's May, and that's tied to sort of like, bridal season sort of being in the May-June timeframe, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure the bridal banner, I think bridal season is usually June, but since they have summer banners in June, and they can't, oust their swimsuits.
No. Can't do that. We need at least 4 months of summer banners or however. It feels like 4 months, but I think it is like two.
It's only two.
2 months. Yes. But it is four banners, is it not? No, that's not right.
No.
It's two banners. I don't know why I'm doubling everything.
Two banners. Just. I mean, it's the only special heroes that gets two banners, so...
Yes, so maybe that's my brain overcorrecting a little bit there, but let's dive into the new heroes we're going to talk about today, which is Attuned, Sita, and Ascended Merrick. Mystery of the Emblem takes the spotlight this time around, featuring a few returning heroes with a bit of an upgrade. Attuned Sita and Ascended Merrick are the headliners, with newcomers Yulia and Arlen on the banner, with Castor as the Grand Hero Battle Unit. Now, before we dive into the individual heroes, I wanted to chat a little bit about... I had this theory before this banner was even posted. I thought, okay, this game's been around for 7 years, and we both know that Fire Emblem, across the franchise, has many heroes to pull from. But when you've been doing something for 7 years, you kind of do exhaust like the top tier heroes that people know and love, and made even harder because you have certain games in the franchise that have not been released worldwide. So you get to a point where half the banner is re-release heroes with the new sort of flavoring of Attuned or Ascended or Rearmed or what have you. And the other half are sort of characters that, and I'll admit, Mystery of the Emblem, the characters, some of the characters we're going to talk about today are from games that you and I could not purchase and play during our time with the franchise. But it just seems like we're at a point now where they've got enough sort of, I want to say, like, remake or upgrade paths for heroes they've already released as normal versions to kind of have these banners going forward of, like, okay, half popular characters that we can bring back with new power and half characters you may not have heard of before. Like, am I on the right sort of route here with this? Like, that's the sense I get. It feels like very much like a, we've been doing this for a while, that they have to start retreading heroes. I don't think we're going to get, like, well, I shouldn't say an Attuned or Ascended, like, Three Houses character, but honestly, it's possible.
I'm probably going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Three Houses is abnormal in that there are very few characters that they're not going to be... It's so recent that it's a lot of the characters are more well-known. Engaged in blow up as well, so there might be some hidden characters, but even Three Houses, there are certain characters that are not really getting the spotlight. I think there might be still a couple characters that we don't have Academy Arc characters for, but I mean, I'm kind of not sure where the question is, because that's just kind of obvious. They're expanding it with the older heroes. Maybe they found that the one old hero that they brought back was not getting as good of a response as, you know, with the three quote unquote new, not in the game before heroes, or three or four. Cause I mean, here we have, you know, Sita and Merrick, but a little while ago, it was, would just be one old hero. And that's kind of, I think why they came up with the Ascended heroes and the, Rearmed and Attuned. I mean, they also add other features like, you know, Rearmed and Attuned add characters where you can inherit the skills and not lose them. But, you know, and actually I think it's kind of a good thing. Other than seasonal units, they don't want to retread a hero with a new title without something special to it. But like you said, they're more or less out of well-known heroes.
Yeah.
You know, Arlen and Yulia are, like you mentioned, Japan-only games. They're from Mystery of the Emblem, which is, you know, Fire Emblem 3 and, was it 12 or 11? Which was the, Fire Emblem 3 was the original, you know, was the third game in the series. And it was a retread of Fire Emblem 1 with a second section added to it afterwards in the final part of the Arcania trilogy, which was weird because they had Gaiden in the middle there, you know, but yeah. You know, and then they did remake that, but they made it Japan only, unlike Shadow Dragon, which was a remake they brought to the US, and they didn't do Echoes level upgrades to it. So I'm not horribly surprised it kind of stumbled. After Sacred Stones and, Blazing Blade or just Fire Emblem here in the U.S., it was a lot rougher.
Mm-hmm.
Even though being on the 3DS, you know?
The DS, yeah.
DS, yes, not 3.
I guess you're right. There wasn't really a question. It was more just noticing it. And you know, a lot of folks might be like, oh, you've come to this conclusion pretty late.
They want to keep popular ones in the banner. And thankfully, unlike other games where they'll give you 5 versions of a base Sita or a base Marth or whatever, just because that's the popular known character and they need him on the banner. But, you know, there's nothing special. All their extra versions are either seasonal or in some way or another special, like Ascended or Attuned. Now, I might have some gripes about Attuned and Rearmed Heroes being so limited, but I also understand their reasoning to a degree behind it. If you have these permanent things just popping up randomly, you know, these characters you can inherit skills out of and still keep, you're gonna, you know, have a lot of people who have 30 of these heroes that they can't do anything with. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's just, like, I see what they've done. You know, again, like, a game's been around for 7 years. They do have to find a way to bring, also, they want to find a way to bring popular heroes back for folks that are looking forward to having and using their favorite character again. Like looking at today, like Attuned Sita, base Sita that came out start of the game's launch, you know, I know there are other versions of Sita you can use, but to have another one, if she's a favorite of yours, like, it makes sense. So I guess it's just, I noticed the fact that going forward, and I appreciate it because, again, like, we talk about these heroes, half I know, half I don't. It's nice to learn about new heroes, and we're going to do that today, but it's also nice to have familiar heroes. Not that I'm super familiar with Merrick. I mean, I know he's a mage that I think is, like, right at the start of Shadow Dragon. Like, he's your intro mage, I think, if I had to guess correctly.
Yeah, he's a, you know, early character, might even be one that starts with you, mage character that was friends with Marth, you know. And he's been pretty well known throughout it, you know. It's but, like, we have, if I'm not saying, we have a legendary Sita.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, I think we have a brave Sita, don't we?
I don't think so. That's okay. A good question. I mean, let's look at, there is normal Sita, there's bridal Sita, there's child's Sita, there's, yeah, summer Sita.
Child Sita, so.
And then there's,
I guess we don't have
legendary.
Yep, so, there is legendary. Brave. I guess we don't have brave, but I'm pretty sure she's done decent in them. You know, these are the well-known characters, and they want to keep the well-known characters out there.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes sense. It makes sense.
There's a good chance that if they didn't have Sita or Merrick, you definitely wouldn't have looked at this banner a second time, and even then you didn't look at it a ton, because they're not among your favorites, but...
Yeah. You're right. No, you're absolutely right. And I get that. Like, I mean, I don't think Intelligent Systems is sitting there and being like, how do we get every single hero into this game as fast as possible? Because they would have done that years. They would have started doing that years ago, and they've been sort of re-releasing heroes for a while now. So I get it that that's never going to happen.
I'll admit that if it had been, you know, 5 characters that I barely know anything about. I think Caster might have been in Shadow Dragon, the Grand Hero Battle unit, because he's from Talus, so he might have been Shadow Dragon, and he didn't leave a mark on me that I don't really remember him. But if it was just Yulia Arlen and 2 other characters from Mystery of the Emblem, there's a chance if they still had an Attuned or Ascended unit in there, I might have gone for that, but I would have been... If there was nothing special and it was all characters I don't know, there's a good chance at this point I might not even pull on that banner.
Whoa.
Because it's like, I don't know these characters, and there's nothing unique like an Attuned unit in there. You know, or a Rearmed. Not a guarantee, but As we mentioned, Sita does return. She's attuned Sita, Marth's Faithful. She returns for her sixth version as an attuned hero in a Blue Lance infantry unit, finally hopping off her Pegasus for once. She wields the Pure Wing Spear and is kitted out with a whole bunch of new skills. She has a unique skill in the B slot called Believe in Love, and it's a question, even in the skill name, as well as her attuned skill in the X slot, obviously being an attuned skill, called Guard Echo. But she also comes with two other new Tier 4 sort of skills, with D Bonus Doubler, which is an upgraded version of Distant Counter. So it's technically the second tier, but it has the Tier 4 ring and is considered, you know, high tier or whatever. And Defense Resistance Pledge. She also has Luna as a special rounding out her kit.
Very good.
So pretty much everything but an assist skill, and all of them are new. Except for Luna, her special.
Right. Yeah. So it's really cool. Obviously, with an attuned hero, you're getting another sort of look for the hero. And this is very much like a like an upgraded classic look that Sita has sported before. It is interesting to know, as you said, she's not riding her Pegasus this time around. So I thought that
actually looks more of a looks a lot more Marth-like to me.
Oh
and
yeah,
I'll admit
yeah.
Part of that's because I was looking at her child version, which I believe has a closer to her classic, and she has a lot more of a red and pink coloring to her.
Oh, okay.
Outfit there.
Actually, now that I look at it, and I'm reading sort of the meet the heroes. They do specifically state bright blue outfit she's wearing is just like Marth. So you're right. Like she's definitely going for the Marth look, which is very cool. So
yeah, I also looked at her base version, Talus's Heart here, and she's got a red outfit, black leggings or whatever, white pants, but red and white more coloring than blue.
Oh, it's good to see Sita back. Like you said, we've had a couple versions of her, but it's nice that we got an attuned version now, so that's good. Let's move over to an unknown hero. Actually, the next two are unknown. We've got Yulia, Princess of Grust. Yulia is the Princess of Grust, one of the kingdoms on the continent of Arcanea. She and her brother, Eubello... maybe, or twins. I know they're twins.
Read it as Jubello, but Jubello might be right.
I don't know.
The fact that Yulia is a YU, I figured, you know, pronounce it like it's written, but maybe it is the, you know, what is that, Norse J, which is pronounced like a Y?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. She takes the lead with her strong disposition. Yulia is the 4-star hero from the banner and is a staff infantry hero wielding Sunlight Plus. No new skills, but rounding out her kit is Psychic Plus as an assist. Deluge Bomb as a special. Speed / Resistance finish 3 in the A slot. And Attack / Defense gap 3 in the C slot.
So she has a new healing skill, Psychic?
Did I say new?
No, I'm joking. It's Physic Plus as her assist, her heal skill. You said psychic.
Physic. Yeah, physic plus. There is a psychic, though, in Fire Emblem, but she does not
there
have
might
psychic.
Be, but
psychic is the one where you can heal far away, I think, in Fire Emblem.
Physic in the main games is the distance healing or one space away. Might be the long distance one, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's a good question. But you're right. Psychic plus.
Is different. Physic plus.
Physic plus. Thank you. She's physic plus.
Yes.
Anyways.
She had a cute little, I haven't finished it, but her Foraging Bonds was kind of cute. She's used to always being with her brother, Eubello. And so she's looking for someone. And so far, Shireena has found her, I think it was Raven, who is gruff and just doing my job. And
yeah,
very much not a good fit for this adorable little child who wants a companion to hang out with, because she's used to having a little brother who she can bounce stuff off with and play around with and stuff. So he does his job while he's just not really the kind of I mean, I don't remember. I'll admit, I don't remember Sita's, what I've done of hers so far, as off the top of my head, what her Forging Bonds was like. So, Arlen, who is our next hero, Mage of Cadeen, he is a fellow student of Wendell, Wendell's the guy who taught Merrick as well, who is completely focused on proving himself to be the best and better than Merrick and everyone else. Since he continues to fail, seems to only be in his mind. Not short on ego here. He joins Heroes as a colorless tome infantry unit wielding the light burst tome. He comes with a new high tier A skill and C bonus doubler, which, like the Sita one, is an upgrade of close counter, but with the bonus doubler mixed in and second tier, but looks like tier 4 with the ring and all that, as well as Ignis in tier 4 attack res tempo. Ireland's is all about finding more power and stuff like that, and proving he's the best in his Forging Bonds. It didn't stick out as well as the other one either.
I did not like this guy in the Forging
Bonds. Oh yeah, he is a conceited, stuck up idiot, and in the group Forging Bonds, it comes off very much where it's like, oh, I'm just going to run off and cause more trouble.
Yeah.
Because I need to prove I'm better than Merrick.
Yeah. I don't often cheer for, like, Merrick, like, as we were talking about, Merrick is very much like the intro mage you get in Shadow Dragon. He's not very memorable, for me at least. And during this Forging Bond, I found myself like, man, this Arlen guy's coming on a little strong. I think Merrick's way better than him, and I don't even know who this guy is.
Yep.
So I was not too pleased with him, and I don't think I would ever want to
I summon on all the colors that have heroes on them, because if I get them, great. But Arlen was one I would have been fine not getting. Yulia, I was... didn't know her, so I would have been okay with her sitting in the pool, especially since she's the 4-star unit.
Right. So. Yeah. Just, I don't know. It's, again, like, it goes back to the conversation of, like, putting these heroes on the banner because you want to put all the heroes on the banner, and this guy was like, I don't know.
I mean, theoretically, and we don't know his whole story arc in the game, so maybe he gets better, maybe he is less abrasive in the game, but theoretically there might be someone who likes Arlen.
Sure.
So it's nice that they're adding him into Heroes so that those people can get their Arlen. He doesn't sell himself well.
No, he does not.
Even if he was somehow the best, his attitude and mindset are just... grading. He is likely to be one of those characters if, I would probably unlock him just to have him, but he would languish in the, convoy, barracks, whatever you want to call it in the game if I had him,
Yeah. The bench, the very large bench that yes. Intelligence Systems gave us to store all of our heroes. Let's talk about the better mage. On the banner, we have Ascended Merrick Wind Pontifex. The Arcanean Mage Merrick has achieved new power as an Ascended Hero. Time has come to lift the veil on the fruits of his studies in Cadeen. Merrick is a Green Tome Cavalry Ascended Hero wielding Tender Excalibur. Merrick has two new skills, Sacred Wind as a special, and Seal Speed/Resistance 3 in the B slot. Rounding out his kit is Remote Sparrow in the A slot and Insight Attack/Speed in the C slot. So we've got our Ascended Hero on the banner, Merrick, the true user of Excalibur, not the sword, the book. So there you go.
Definitely been a while since we had an Ascended Hero. I don't remember exactly how long, but definitely feels like it's been a while for sure. But nice to see getting one back.
That's a good question.
Merrick returns.
When do we have the last Ascended here? Because you feel like it's been a while, right?
Yep.
I'm trying to see if I can quickly find out without causing too much fuss. Let's see. Oh, come on. Should be able to do this pretty simply, but can't figure it out. Anyways.
Yeah, I tried looking through the wiki we use, but it just lists all the Ascended Heroes, not when they came out. So I'd have to find a list of all the summoning feature focuses and scroll through to figure out where the last Ascended Hero dropped.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it lists them all. There's not many. There's not many to choose from. But they're usually...
We generally get one a month, if that. You know, one... For a while there was one Ascended or Rearmed, or once they added Attuned or Attuned, but lately they've been doing two of those ones, but that's still... Ascended's been out for, what, a year and a half?
So let's see.
Or no, 2.5 years, and one of those years Rearmed was starting to take over a bit more.
Yes, so Ascended Hero. The last Ascended Hero, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right at all. This says 2021.
No, there were definitely a few in 2023. Ascended Heroes launched in 2021, but...
The last one was said that we last had, which was in September. So it has been, you know, at least six months or more.
6 months, yep.
It feels right.
September was 6 months ago. It's month three. It wasn't month nine. Maybe you could argue 5 months, but...
It was a lucky guess. I didn't do the math in my head. I just guessed. It felt like 6 months, but... Yeah, so it has been 6 months since our last Ascended. I wonder why the pause, maybe just to focus on the new types of heroes. We got Attuned.
I'm pretty sure Attuned was a focus of the pause. I mean, they did a Rearmed a month after in October. November is when we got Attuned, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The first duo Attuned, and then they've been doing Attuned and/or Rearmed since then.
Yeah.
Not to mention we had December where we have the new... Legendary or Mythic.
Yeah. And then January, we got Emblem Heroes.
That's separate. Emblem's a separate thing.
I just mean in terms of like focus, you know. I could understand them not wanting to. But yeah, you know, you're right.
Well, they still did a Rearmed Hero on the, or Attuned in the January banner. I can't remember what it was in January, but let me take a look at our character list. In January... It was Reinhardt, I believe. Thrud Reborn, who was a Rearmed, I think. I know he is Rearmed or Attuned. I don't have it listed of which of it is.
Well, let's talk about the last hero.
Yeah, let's not.
No? Just Caster? Just cast him aside?
Caster Loving Son. Caster hails from Talos. Joins as a GHP unit as a Red Bow Infantry unit, wielding the Vulture Bow Plus. He is a GHB unit, so he has no new skills. Becomes with Dragon Fang, Sudden Panic, and Threaten Attack Defense. So he's from Talos. He's titled Loving Son because he would like send money back to his ailing mother or something, I believe. But I'll admit, I don't remember him much. Him being from Talos suggests he was probably in Shadow Dragon, and I just probably one of the trio of early characters they add to you to help bulk up your army early on.
Yeah. The first archer, maybe. Something like that.
Maybe. He's a lance unit. Oh, no, he is an infantry unit, so maybe he was your first archer.
Yeah. I don't remember him whatsoever, and probably another one. Let's see when he joins. Yeah, so first scene, chapter 2 of Shadow Dragon. Oh,
so yeah.
That's so very early on.
He's an early archer in Shadow Dragon.
Well, that is going to do it for our Fire Emblem Heroes talk. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, we have some Outrealm Gate discussion to have here as we talk about Project Unicorn Overlord Project.
Well, this is not a Squeenix game where they call it Project Triangle Strategy and then just name, or Project Octopath Traveler and just name it Octopath Traveler or Triangle Strategy when it releases.
I wonder if it had like a project name. Maybe my brain is misremembering it because it's been in development for a bit.
I don't know if we ever heard the project name. I believe, and I could be wrong, the first thing we got was in a Nintendo Direct where it was called Unicorn Overlord.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's longer than I remember, but I don't feel like it was really that long ago since we actually saw anything of this. But
yeah. Yeah. So this is Unicorn Overlord. The reason we're discussing it here is that it's got a very, Fire Emblem feel, although, as Eddie has talked about last week, it's
makes
still
you think,
different.
What makes you think that? It's, you know, a blue-haired protagonist whose parent dies early on, who is trying to save the world from an evil, you know, world-conquering villain.
Yeah, yeah. And there's,
nothing
I mean,
Fire
it doesn't
Emblem
sound...
about that.
No. You're right. Let's just end the show here. This is a bad idea. No, it's very
similar. It does
have
some differences, but it is very similar. Similar kind of story set up and all.
Yeah. So let's enter a little bit here. So again, it just came out March 8th. It's available on Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. I would say I've spoken to folks. I'm personally playing it on Xbox. You're playing it on Switch, right, Eddie?
Correct.
Yeah.
I got Persona 5 Tactica when it launched back September last year on my Xbox, and while I enjoyed the game, I just often didn't feel like booting it up. I would boot up Persona 5 Royal or something else instead, and I don't know why, and I need to go back and finish it because I was enjoying it. The story was weird but interesting, and I was enjoying it, but I just, you know, found myself more hesitant to go back to it. Being at home, and you know, so I got the demo on the Switch. I was enjoying it enough there, and I've been playing it a lot, even at home and while at in the bus. So maybe Persona 5 Tactics just didn't catch me as much, but there have been points where I had wished that I had Tactica on my Switch.
Yeah, and like it runs really well across all platforms, but there is still a demo if you do want to check it out. We talked about that last week. And the thing that makes this game interesting is the way that they handle, and I've not played a game like this before, the way that they handle sort of the setup of battle, where there is a, I don't want to say massive, but there is a big map, an overworld map that you walk across. With your main character, Elaine, and you are basically charged with trying to overthrow the Zenonian Empire that, or the Zenoiran, thank you, Empire, that has taken over the five realms or whatever. And you are the Liberation Army trying to basically push back. And Elaine is also the heir to the kingdom.
Cornian,
thank you. I'm glad you know Cornian all these throne. Words. Yeah. So, you know, very Fire Emblem, but again, like the core difference here is like in Fire Emblem where you were like queuing from battle to battle, in this, you are exploring the overworld map, you are certainly engaging in battles, but the battles are sort of seen on the overworld and you have to walk up to them to engage them.
So Fire Emblem is 100% turn-based, and even more strictly, it is entire army turn based. Also, your units are single units, not really counting the old three houses battalions thing, where you're one on one against your enemy. Unicorn Overlord is real time maps, stages. So, you know, everyone just moves on their own wherever you tell them. There's no grid. But you can pause, and it often pauses, giving you time to select and tell your units. And your units are anywhere from one to five characters in the unit. And then the actual battles are auto battle. I mean, Fire Emblem, you know, the battles are not auto battle because you go to the enemy, you select what you're going to do, and then you do your attacks, they do their attacks, and that's it. This, you set up how you want your characters to act during the battle, how you want them to use their skills. They have a certain number of skill points, active and passive skills. Passive skills often trigger under certain conditions, and the battle plays out. In this, you can even move your characters around to hopefully get a better result if you're not going to get a good result out of a battle. So definitely a lot of differences.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But and I think
a lot of similarities.
Yeah. I think where the differences, like that's where I think it kind of shines in that it isn't just another turn-based strategy game with Fire Emblem feel. It has its own unique, maybe it's not unique, but it, to me, it, its own approach to how it does combat with tactics and setting up. And I know there are other games that sort of this is pulling from.
I haven't played it. I've heard a lot of comparisons to Tactics Ogre, I believe.
I have heard that one come up a bit. And I've not played Tactics Ogre, but I do enjoy the ability to kind of set up your units. And I think another one kind of did this, Symphony of War did this a bit, where you're setting up your units in sort of a grid fashion, and there are tactics involved in terms of, like, if you place your thief at the front of, so when you attack, when you do the attack, it's all automated. And when that attack happens, your enemy and yourself target the front lines, unless you have an ally that can target the back lines. But if you have a thief in the front lines, unlike Fire Emblem, where thieves are very weak and sort of glass cannons, in this, they are there to sort of kind of tank in a way, but because they're being targeted and they have a high evasion skill.
Yeah, they're evade tanks.
Yeah, it's really cool. And there's a bunch of stuff like that. And I really enjoy, so you set in your groupings, you set a leader, which gives that grouping a specific leader skill. So I got an archer, and I like setting the archer as the leader skill. And then there are maps that have these watchtowers, and you can place the archer grouping on that watchtower, and suddenly you are offered like a sort of a passive bonus to each engagement that happens within sort of a spacing, and then it will deal damage before the attack even starts. So it gives you a huge advantage as you're targeting, you're doing damage across the whole formation of enemies, not just the front line. So yep. There's a lot of little tactics stuff like that that's really cool.
Yep. And they're pretty generous in what changes they allow you to make. You know, you can change units even in a stage up to the point that you deploy them. Once they're deployed, you can't change them. You can change the leader, although if you've deployed them, it costs a Valor Point, which is your kind of currency to deploy units and do special skills they have and other stuff like that. And the enemies will use some of those special skills against you. I lost count of the number of times I've been going to take over an enemy watchtower only to have that archer in there use his arrow rain on my flying unit that's heading there, and suddenly, you know, or flying lead unit heading there to avoid all the traps and, you know, forests and other stuff, only to be like, oh, no, turn around, gotta go heal up, he's lost half the unit.
Yeah. And I don't know, is it on higher difficulties in Unicorn Overlord, do your characters die permanently, or you could always revive them?
As far as I'm aware, there's no permadeath in this game. Mm-hmm. I do not know for sure. I may have lost an actual unit, but I'm not sure, in a map, and they were still fine after the battle. I know during one of the maps, there's a ally unit that can join you for a couple special maps after a certain point in the game, and he got defeated, but he showed up in the next time he was scripted to potentially show up, as if nothing had happened.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it was like I was sending him back to get healed up, and they dropped one of those map things on him. And it's like, well, he's going to get hit, and it was enough to knock him out. And it's like, so I kind of put a side save there and tested it in a map I wasn't going to do yet, that everything I read said he should show up, and he showed back up again.
Yeah. You can revive heroes pretty easily with items, and there's a lot of...
Yep. Yeah, this game has had me using items a lot more than some others have. You know, a lot of games I'll hoard items. In this game, I use the revival orbs. I try to not use them when I don't need to. If I can run them back to a command post that I own that'll heal them, because that will... revive incapacitated allies. They call them incapacitated, not dead or anything like that, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the other thing that really caught my eyes. I really enjoy a game that, this is going to sound tedious, but I enjoy a game that has like a good system in there for like upgrades and collecting things and then turning them in and then having that have an immediate effect on these places that you are investing in. So because you are the Liberation Army and you're sort of working your way across the realm to bring these villages back and cities and there are varying types of places you're going to encounter. And I love how different they kind of all are. But when you do sort of liberate one of them, they have been affected by this Zenoiran Empire taking over. So they are in disrepair. So you have to like do these little fetch quests, not fetch quests, but like turn in things that you're finding along the map.
Delivery requests.
Yeah, delivery requests. And then that improves the location and allows you to do more things. Sometimes it is just to set up like a station guard, which will sort of collect resources between battles and stuff.
I mean, the map is pretty big after a while, especially after a while. So, and there are a lot of resources you collect in there to do things. And I guess you could completely ignore that feature. But, I mean, it gives you bonuses, so why would you? Mm-hmm. But what Stationing Guard does is, one, it gives you a passive income. You know, each town that has a guard stationed at it will give you gold after every battle, and then it auto-collects all the resource nodes in the area. So you can just go focus on doing new battles and freeing new towns, and there's a decent chance, especially once you've been in an area long enough, that afterwards you have enough mats to do those delivery requests to auto-collect the new resources and get more money. So it's a nice little feature. I will admit that there are a lot of towns in this continent, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because for a while there, at the beginning, I was just using my recruited units. But another feature they have is you can hire mercenaries to fill out your units.
Yes.
If you need to. And after a certain point, I was having to bring in those hire mercenaries just to stick as guards on towns.
Oh,
so I got a handful of level 3 units out in random towns who will probably almost never get above level 3 or 4 or 5.
Right.
Because
the very cool thing about that mercenary system is you might think, oh, you just hire a random whatever, but you can fully customize your character that you hire. You can
customize their colors, customize their voice, their name, their skill growths. I'll admit, initially, when I first hired a few mercenaries, on the off chance I decided to level them at some point, I was, looking at those skills. At this point, I've got so many mercenaries that are just going to be sitting in barracks elsewhere that I haven't bothered looking at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another nice thing about there being a lot of towns is that it seems that and it kind of makes sense because you're in a war, but no one ever gets restocked, it seems. So as I've gone through my early game revival materials, I've had to run through towns and buy up some more because I ran out. And usually, a town I've already cleared out of them is still cleared out.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's really wild that they don't sort of replenish. But then maybe that goes to like, the tactics of it, of like not using your items too much, right? So
there are other ways to get people up and stuff. So that's why I started trying to be more cognizant of that. But I mean, like if I get a character that gets knocked down and I want him back, I kind of got to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the other thing that kind of popped up was there's a lot of stuff to sort of find on the overworld. So as you're like traversing mm-hmm. through and you do clear a side quest, it does eliminate sort of, there is random enemies sort of popping around. They will keep you from exploring too far. Like they kind of encourage you to clear the area.
Yes and no. After a certain point, after you have your characters at a certain level or a certain setup, you can knock them out. And once you knock them out, they're gone for good.
Oh, okay. I did come across that. Yeah.
The way it works in this is, similar to Fire Emblem, each battle is a single battle. And if you don't kill them, they stay on the map and do their thing. Essentially, you use up all your attack action points and passive points, attacking back and forth. And whoever, if you don't kill them in that one round, whoever did the most damage, I think it is considered the winner. And the loser gets put in a wait state while the winner can attack right away again.
Mm-hmm.
And the overworld map, the way it works is you have one turn. If you don't kill them in that one turn, they go into a wait state and you can bypass them. But they will still be on the map. If you kill them in that one turn, you know, when you go back to fight them again, they'll be at full health and you'll be at full health. So if you kill them in the one turn, they go away. If you don't kill them, they go into a wait state so you can bypass them and continue to where you were going. So,
okay, that makes sense. Yeah, yep. And I mean, if you are exploring an area that's a little over-leveled, I had this happen where I tried to walk north of an area and I encountered a group of thieves, and they ended up winning the battle, which if they win the battle, it resets you to the last location you visited. So there is some sort of like, you should find the quest to clear these out. Cause once they're cleared and you kind of can explore from there. But
yes. And one nice thing they do is when you do that, when that happens, you get all the honors you would get. Cause if you actually knock them out in the overworld map, you get honors for defeating them, which honors are a special currency in the game that you use for upgrading the size of your units, promoting your units to advanced classes, stuff like that. So you get them for defeating them, and when you liberate an area and it auto-defeats all of them, you get all the honors for that as well, which is nice.
Yeah, that is good. Before we wrap up, though, I did want to talk a bit more about the combat, because I think it is the most different thing from Fire Emblem in the fact that when you queue into a quest, and it starts this little, I hate to compare it to it, but it feels a little bit like Clash Royale, where you have a base, the enemy has a base, the bosses, so to speak, that are garrisoned at specific points. This is a bit further into the game, past the intro tutorial. They are constantly churning out reinforcements. So there's always enemies sort of coming, not at a steady pace, but like at a pace where if you just stood there, they would come attack you. You are encouraged to send your units out and, of course, you know, do the battles on their to win the map, because there is a time limit too. If you take too long to win,
I mentioned I'm not fond of that feature, but it does make sense because you can just sit there and turtle and grow XP if you decide, you know, if you never send them out. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm not fond of it, but it's not been an issue for me. There's been a couple of the smaller maps where I've come really close to the timer, but I've never actually failed a level during timer on my difficulty, and I'm playing on tactical, which is the second hardest available at the beginning. I've seen stuff that indicates once you beat the game, it unlocks an even harder difficulty, kind of similar to how Fire Emblem did it. So, or does it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the timer is there. I think it is there to sort of encourage you to push forward. I've only had one instance where pushing myself too far caused me an inability to win, but I think that was more just Ryan doesn't use tactics scenario when he should have been.
I'm often pretty bad about tactics, but I've been using them a bit more, and it's more of, and I'm still not great at it. But like as you get new skills or certain skills, you know, there are certain times where it's better use one skill over another. So there have been times where, you know, I do a battle, I realize, well, that was inefficient, and then go into the little menu they give you where you can set how your characters use their skills and update that. And there's been a few of them where it's like, oh, yeah, I need to remember to do that, and then I forget to do that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a really fun game. definitely check it out if you're a Fire Emblem fan. I think it fits right in with, you know, fans of the Fire Emblem genre, but franchise are likely to like this. And there is a demo available, so it costs you nothing to check it out. It's a fairly generous demo as well. Yeah, and we'll touch on this again in the near future as we play a little bit farther. And of course, I'll talk about it on the Gamers Inn at some point, maybe this week, depending on how much further I can get. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Speaking of this game in Gamers Inn, if you come and join us in the Discord, there's a lot of us in there playing it.
Yes. Yeah, there's a very active game discussions post. I haven't been able to keep up as much as everyone else. I am still working my way through what feels like the intro to the game, but I think I'm at the point now where I can sort of dive in and have those chats. It's really cool. That is going to do it for our episode. Visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com/fae. Check out the Fire Emblem channel in the Gamers Inn Discord at bit.ly/TGI Discord. And be sure to join in on the Unicorn Overlord game discussion post. Lot of great discussions going on in there. And as Eddie said, we haven't touched on story spoilers on this show, but I feel like once we get a bit further, we can probably talk spoilers and talk story, thoughts on the story. I feel like the story for Unicorn Overlord was the one thing that was getting criticized the most as sort of a typical fantasy style story. I mean, if in that regard, it feels very similar to Fire Emblem of like bad guys be doing bad guy things. And but there's some nuance there though. I came across some side quests. I promised we would wrap the show up, but here I am going again. Let's talk about story next episode. I think that's a grand idea.
Sounds good.
Okay. Be sure to check out feheroes.fandom.com or go to resource for Fire Emblem Heroes information. It's going to do it for this episode of Summoner's Call. We'll be back in 3 weeks' time to cover the next batch of special heroes and the next emblem hero. Have a great couple weeks and happy summoning.